Sure, it feels a bit difficult coming out of worship into preaching. But it's a natural progression, but we did just shout, so let's hope our now you can rest your voices and I'll use mine. Good morning. Yeah, I hope you all are well on this fine Mother's Day. Nadia's sharp this morning. We've been in an interesting series over the past 2 months, just dealing with just contending for the city and really pressing into where we are at this moment and really, you know, what's in front of us, where are we in the city and all of that. And we've had the mission to Cape Town and the evangelism series, Marching March, and all of this thing has just been so outward focused, which is so important, and it's just such an integral part of our faith. What I really want to talk about this morning is the other side of the coin, the part that allows us to do that, allows us to go out, and that is the topic of drawing from wells, and just where we draw our wealth from, our life. But before I get into this, I just want to share a bit on my morning routine. I have very recently started taking up the habit of making good coffee in the morning. I very recently bought a hand grinder that is fully mechanical, no electronic parts. What I'll normally do is I'll start off with, you know, weighing my beans. I get like a good amount, you know, 18 grams on the dot. I'd hand grind it for about 5 to 10 minutes. All there, just going. And so it's normally, you know, it's becoming winter, so it's dark out and everything, just standing there, sleep in my eyes, just grinding. And it's just been an amazing way to just sort of like wake up for the day. You start smelling the coffee as it rises up, and then you put it into the little mocha pot, Bialetti, and yeah, wow. And it starts boiling, and you just smell, and you see the golden nectar come out, and you're just like, yes, this is going to be good. And then from there, you know, warming up the milk to the perfect temperature that is not too hot, but it's still sweet. And then pouring it over and going upstairs back to my room and then opening the Bible and just indulging in the Word. And this has been part of my morning routine for a few weeks now. And it's just, I don't want to say it's changed my life, but it's been very, very dramatic. But something that I've really noticed is when I wake up, I desire that coffee. Like, yes, I'm just thinking of that process. I just love this process so much. And it's just such an interesting thing, because then immediately after that, I have the Word, and it's that sustains me and that brings me life. Maybe on a lighter note, I also drive past Bocchini's quite often. I think pizza and pasta is probably one of my favorite foods. And every time I drive past, I'm like, ah, if only I could just have a wood-fired pizza right now. And just, ah. Just thinking of the avocado, the bacon, and the feta, and just, it's just perfect. I think that flavor combination was just God-ordained from the start. And we get these cravings, and I'm sure you do as well. If you drive down Long Street or Kloof, you just see all these restaurants, all these different places, all these different opportunities, and like, they have some really nice eggs bennies. And you start to crave these different things, like, that's a really good coffee shop. And you have these internal desires for food and for things. I'm a massive foodie and coffee addict, which is why I'm using this analogy here. But we all have a hunger, and it's on so many different levels. It's physical, but it's also spiritual. I had the massive opportunity and blessing last year to go on a multi-day hike that Yaku had organized, the Otaniqua. It's around the Knysna Forest. And I had a very interesting experience while I was there. I've not had the best history with mental health. I came out of school extremely depressed, really struggling with it, and really struggling with just low self-esteem. I'd gone through a lot of therapy, a lot of prayer, and a lot of contending with God. And by the time I, on that hike, still struggled with it. I just woke up on the first morning. I was like, well, I just feel empty. I feel down. I feel low. And I got up, grabbed my Bible, my notebook. We were in the forests of Knysna, so it was just nature around me. And just sat there and read scriptures. Didn't really have much goal or much aim, just read scripture. And something shifted. And by the end of it, I realized I was lighter. I was whole, more complete. And I realized in that moment that that is what Quiet Times has been doing for me for quite a while. And but I only had realized it in that moment. I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? What is this that I'm experiencing now? And I was like, wow. And then just the day went on. We would walk for hours, you know, within nature. And it would just be this sweet sense throughout the day. By the end of it, you'd just be tired and like, okay, people, you are amazing, but I really wouldn't mind sleeping and getting some rest. And then the next morning, feeling low, feeling down, depressed. And I was just like, what is happening? We'd just go out and have quiet time again, and then just pressed in, and something shifted in my heart. And I became more and more aware of this process that we go through when we sit with the Lord and realizing there's something inside of me that it just needs to be filled, and just runs dry so often. The sons of Korah, really amazing name, are psalmists. They wrote part of Psalms. In Psalm 42, they say, "As a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you?" We all have this thirst inside of us, not just for coffee, but for God. And we've been made for God. Jesus, when sitting at the well outside a town in Samaria, he's sitting in John 4, 7 to 15. I'm going to read it for us. It should be on the screen as well. It says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and it is, that is, oh, that it, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' And the woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep.'" I like how practical she is. "Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I might not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." The water here that Jesus is referring to is the Holy Spirit. He later in John chapter 7 says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his hearts will flow the rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit has not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." So he talks about this like flow, this river, this living water. And Jesus loved to speak in parables and sort of things, concepts people didn't fully understand. But he has this clear contrast between these two things. He talks about the literal water that is in that well, and he talks about living water. And I believe that we have a choice every day. Multiple times a day we feel empty and we think, when we have a choice, how are we going to fill ourselves? And there's always a choice we have on where are we going to go for our source? Where are we going to draw from these wells? Or what wells are we going to draw from? He mentions anyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But he also promises satisfaction, saying whoever drinks from the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. We are thirsty because there's this void inside of us. We have this empty hole and it just keeps on running dry. It's like a teacup and just keeps on getting chucked out. I don't believe it's very big because I believe we need constant infilling and we need a constant supply. We were made to be in communion with God. We were made to give him glory and we were made to connect with him. God was with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that was the image of a perfect life before sin entered the world. He was with them there. And I believe that's what we were designed to do. We were designed to be with him. And Jesus came to us so that we could have salvation and be reconciled with our Father. So I want to ask you this morning, where are you drawing your waters from? Throughout our days, I believe we expend ourselves. It's part of our nature, part of our design. We expend and we give. It's a give and a take, a constant flow. A constant flow throughout as we go to work, as we see people, as we wake up and have the dogs run on our feet. And it's something that's constantly drawing energy from us, constantly taking our focus and constantly changing how we feel. It's drawing from us, be it the kids, be it colleagues, be it friends. And there's something that's always filling us. My question to you is, where are you drawing that filling from? Where are you filling yourself from? How many of us, after a long day's work, you're tired, we go to things like series, movies, YouTube, social media, food, drink, maybe even relationships, thinking, man, I deserve this. Today was a good day of work. I deserve this. Oh, I deserve this YouTube video about bridge construction. Just like, I just need a rest right now. The hard truth is that we don't deserve any of it. We deserve death. Because we are sinners and we are wretches, completely void of true, real life. And we will continue running to these soft earthly pleasures until we realize where we are in relation to God and where we are in relation to where or what brings us true life. What we really need to do is come to God trembling in the realization of his holiness. Falling to our knees and begging for forgiveness, repenting. Repenting for how we've constantly been missing the mark. Begging that he doesn't wipe us away due to our sin. Only then with a contrite heart can we really begin to draw from the wells of salvation which Isaiah describes. These wells of salvation that describes true freedom from sin. And realizing the magnitude of our pardon, we can begin to worship God and begin to say, wow, God, I've been such a sinner, and yet you've forgiven me for this. And when we're in that posture of just pure surrender, he can pick us up and he can say, yes, come to me, and we can have fellowship with him. And we begin to gain life and joy that truly fills us as we spend time with him and communion with him. The fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest in our lives. The joy, peace, kindness. When we come to the Father, we realize how empty and how hungry we are. When we enter his presence, we realize we are just small vessels for life, and it gets emptied so quickly. And what we really desperately need is to fill this cup up all the time and so constantly, and we run to so many different things to fill it up. part of the realization I had on that hike was that I emptied quick. But almost by the time I had come back from the quiet time, I needed to have another one. And I think often, for those of us who are able to have quiet times in the morning, by the time we reach our front door, we are empty again. It's because we are so saturated with sin and the sinful place, and we don't realize the depth in which we need God, the depth at which we need His presence to be with us. It's not just a simple little Bible session in the morning that will fill us for the day. It's not just a simple snack of nuts that will sustain you for a week. It's something we need to constantly draw from, constantly go to for life. Sometimes we are so used to being empty that we don't even know what it means to be filled and satisfied by God. In Psalm 63, David says, "My soul will be satisfied as with rich fat, as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." So where are you drawing your life from? Where are you drawing your energy from? Are you coming home from work and going to the nearest thing that you enjoy? Or are you, you spending time with God? Or are you drawing things from worldly experiences and worldly satisfaction that's just going to leave you thirsty again? Or are you going to God that actually satisfies this void inside of us? When you're absolutely tired, overwhelmed, and dejected, what are you running to? Are you reaching for your phone, or are you reaching for your Bible? I absolutely love reading through Psalms, and you just see the emotion of David and people like the Sons of Korah. Amazing band name, I think. And you just see the emotion they have behind it, but how they're saying, like, God, why do you reject me? Why do you leave me where I am? But then they always come back to praise. And when you're stressed, worried, and worn out, are you constantly thinking of solutions? Thinking, okay, I need to do that, I need to do that, I need to do that. Then I can get out of this place. I just need to work harder. I need to put in an extra hour here today, maybe three tomorrow. Okay, cool. It's going to work out. Or are you opening your heart in prayer and just being like, God, you are there, and are you connecting with Him? And when you feel like you need to be better, look better, dress better, maybe lose a bit of weight, are you thinking about the next fitness program, scrolling through, I don't know, Superbalist, thinking like, okay, that's a nice jacket? Or are you coming to the Father and worshiping Him and adoring His beauty? I mean, wow, God, you are beautiful. Not me, you. Are we constantly trying to fill ourselves with the worldly things, or are we reaching for God, who's just at an arm's length? We just need to step out and take and just enter in His presence, humbly entering in. Because as the day goes on, we are constantly being emptied, constantly being drawn from. And we need to be filled. We need to be filled. A quiet time in the morning isn't enough. And what are we drawing from? Yeah. This message isn't one of condemnation, but one of encouragement. A reminder that there is more. There is more to life. There's more to life than the simple things we run to. There are amazing things that we can experience in our lives here, but these are added extras on top of where we get our real source and real life from. And we tend to forget this. I think a lot of us have really been diligently walking in our lives for many years with Christ, and we forget this so often. And then we find ourselves in a dry spot. And we're like, God, how did I even end up here? And you realize, I haven't even been having proper quiet times for a month. Maybe you're just struggling to even get to opening your Bible once a day or even once a week. I just really want to encourage you and say that there's more. There's more than just reading a quick scripture in the morning. There's more than just looking at the daily scripture. And when we meet with God throughout the day in our quiet times and prayer, while we're at work and just quickly looking upward into heaven, we meet with our Maker and our Creator, and He sustains us and He brings us life. Husbands and wives, I'm sure you've probably realized it's nearly impossible to love the other person. It's nearly impossible to fully love someone unless God is in you. And we need to be able to draw from these wells of life that God freely gives us. Yeah, this can be in many different ways and many different practical means, from setting time aside within our day to just look upward and pray. Like, just take 10 minutes and just have a conversation with God at work or during your tea or coffee break. Some be actually meeting with Him in the morning or in the evenings and just indulging in scripture and really digging deep and studying if that's what you enjoy. It can be worshiping Him instead of listening to secular music. It's about what are you filling yourself with. Because we need to be filled. We constantly need to be filled. And it's more or less, the question is, what are we filling ourselves with? Because when Jesus came to set us free and bring us salvation, he did it so we can be reunited with God. Not so we can just see Him and wave at Him in the morning before we go on with our lives, but to actually really enjoy Him in our day-to-day. Enjoy Him in our work. Enjoy Him in our friendships. Enjoy Him in our, I don't know, our runs on the mountains, our hikes, our coffees. Enjoy Him in that and not draw from that, but enjoy Him in it. Yeah. I just want to encourage you this morning again. Yeah. Try and see how you can find God in your days. Because He's so willing to meet you there, so willing to meet you in your work, so willing to meet you in your relationships and your friendships. And I think you might find that there's a whole lot more life found when you have that in place, when you can actually find Him in your life instead of just a compartmentalized thing in your morning. When you find Him throughout your day, I think you find your life becomes a whole lot more sweeter. So I want to ask you once more, where are you drawing your life from? And it might be worth just sitting down and looking at your days. How are you going about it? And where is God in it? Yeah. It's not a very long sermon, but it's a short encouragement. Nordia, we're going to have a bit of worship again just to reconnect with the Father. And if the leaders within our church, if you can stand in front while we worship, I just want to encourage you, if there's anything that you really have on your heart that you'd like to pray for and that we can pray with you on and stand in agreement with, I just want to encourage you to come forward. Otherwise, just enjoy His presence and enjoy the time with Him. So yeah, He really wants to meet with you. And He really wants to He wants you to experience Him. Yeah, let me close up in prayer. Yes, Father, thank You that You sent Your Son that we may be reconciled with You. Thank You just that You sent Your Son that we have an image of what it means to live a life that it brings glory to You. I pray that you, just bring to the front of mind how we can integrate you more into our lives, connect with you more in our lives than what we have been before. Yes, Lord, thank you that you are faithful to meet us. You are faithful to meet us when we come and look for you. I pray that as we go into just the day of celebrating mothers, I pray that you bless the interactions we have. I think that we're going to look at part of life that you have designed. Bringing up another generation and the office that you had created for moms, right? The office of a mother. Yeah, so we just want to honor you today. I just want to say you are worthy of our praise.
So just confirmed it to share a song that I've been working on. It ties exactly into what everything that Ben has said. And